because you guys can hear me.
It's good.
And I don't have to yell, because otherwise you'd hear me then, too. All right, so how many people here already know who NREG is? Some of you? Okay, for those of you who don't, NREG started right here in our own backyard. Now they're a national company. I know I've had policies with them. As a lender, I send a lot of people over to them to get policies. So they do a really good job for investors doing rehabs and rental properties. Sean.
Yep.
Take it away.
Very good.
Because they want to listen to you, not me.
Yep. Thank you so much. How's everyone doing? Good? All right. You guys are all the brave ones deciding to listen to insurance talk over lunch, right? You're going to carb up with some bread and talk about insurance. It's going to be fun. So how many Bearcats we got in the room? Not you, right? You're a Buckeye, right? It's pretty exciting, right? Huskies? Which one? Washington? Wow, you're a long way from home, man. Yeah, very good. So as we mentioned, my name's Sean Wodel. I'm with National Real Estate Insurance Group. I'm the CEO and president, and we actually did. We started right here about 10 minutes away on the corner of Tylersville and Cincinnati Dayton Road is where our program started. And it started largely because of Cincinnati RIA and this group. So we have a lot to be thankful for this group. That's how we, you know, it's how we started. We've since branched out, gone to Kansas City. Now a large national program. We've got about 150,000 locations insured across all 50 states now, but without this group and without our roots here in Cincinnati, none of this would have happened. So really appreciate it, which is why we always want to come back, give back, and be able to help all of our investor friends here in Cincinnati. So today we're going to talk about insuring your investment properties. So we're going to talk about some creative strategies and ways to maybe ensure that you're not overpaying for your coverage, making sure that the insurance that you have is actually designed specifically for your needs, because every investor is different, right? And it's important to know, if you guys walk away with one thing from today, is that you guys have choices. So if your agent's working for you and you're not insured with us, that's fine. There's plenty of good ones out there. Selesky's partnered with us. He's right outside the door. Great people as well. So make sure your agents are working for you, making sure they're giving you options, making sure that they're listening to you when you tell them what you need your insurance to provide. Okay? Should not just be, here's your quote, take it or leave it and move on. You're not working with the right people. Okay? So let's dive right into it. So really quickly, before I get into some fun stuff, this is just who we are, right? So since we started, you know, we were predominantly just for residential real estate investors, predominantly one you know, single family rental dwellings up to maybe 4 units. We've since expanded. We can now do up to 20 unit properties for one at any one location. Still do the coverage for vacant renovations occupies collectively on one schedule. So on a monthly reporting form, so it's pay as you go. No minimum earned premiums, no long-term commitments, no co-insurance when you're at least insuring to $50 a square foot or above. We can do liability only, so if you decide, hey, I picked up a property for $5,000 or $10,000, it's sitting vacant, really don't really want to cover the property coverage because if it burns to the ground, I know what I'm out, right? Some people choose to do that, but you never want to self-insure liability, and we'll talk about why here just a little bit later. And then really any type of property, single family, multifamily, anybody doing vacation rentals now? Airbnb, all right, we do that too. Renovation, vacants, and vacant land. That's pretty much everything we do now, so it's evolved quite a bit since we first started. So really anything you guys are investing in, we can do. If you start to venture out into some self-storage, larger commercial real estate, we have programs for that as well. So let's kind of talk about property coverage first, because this is where you have a lot of options. This is where you can actually tailor your coverage to what your specific needs are in an effort to not only avoid overinsuring, avoid overpaying. So this is where you're going to work with your agent to figure out, decide your appetite for risk, what your exit strategy is, several things they need to talk about with you when you decide what coverage is best for you. So you've got a couple different options in terms of coverage forms. You've got a basic form option, and you've got special form. Let's talk about basic form first. Basic is exactly what it sounds like. It's kind of a stripped down kind of property policy form. It's a named peril policy form, meaning that these right here, they'll be listed specifically on your policy as covered perils. Okay, anything that's not listed on there is an exclusion. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. So as you can see, you've got some comprehensive coverages in there. However, there are some exclusions we want to make you aware of. You decide that you want to go with special form. Special form is really an all, it's considered, you know, all risk. It's the most comprehensive coverage form you can purchase. So for an investor that maybe doesn't have a lot of appetite for risk and they want to make sure, hey, anything that happens, I want to have coverage for, special form is the way to go. The burden of proof actually falls on the insurance company at the time of loss to tell you and me as your insurance agent that the loss that happened did so from an excluded peril. It's very difficult for them to do when you look at how many covered perils you have here. So these are the additional ones that you're actually picking up on special form, which would be falling objects. Those are like the old State Farm commercials where you see like the meteor falling out of the sky or space junk. Doesn't happen, so we'll provide coverage for it, right? Does it include trees? As long as the tree is not dead, yes. Yeah. Weight of ice, sleet, or snow, which you guys get here, right? Absolutely. So roof caves in due to the ice, the weight of the ice, that would be covered on special form. You got water damage. Water damage, very misused term. I want to make sure you guys understand what that is. That is not flood coverage. Water damage is going to be coverage for frozen pipes that burst in the wintertime, right? You don't have the heat maintained. Tenant moves out. You got a vacant piece of property. The pipes burst. You got a mess on your hands. So that would be covered on special. You've got collapse, which is exactly what it sounds like. You buy a property where there's structural integrity that could happen, right? It collapses, you've got coverage. Theft, everyone's favorite peril, right? Somebody breaks in, rips the copper out of the wall, steals your AC unit, something like that. And then risk of direct physical loss, which basically says, unless specifically excluded, coverage is afforded to you on special form, right? That's about your cost difference, though. So think about a few things. Think about where you're investing. Obviously in Cincinnati, you're going to be, or in Ohio as a whole, right? You're going to have water damage, weight of ice, sleet, or snow. Those things are going to happen from time to time. But if you're insuring in Florida, you got properties in Florida, that's probably not that big of a risk, right? Then you want to think about theft coverage. Theft is one that's, if you've got a good long-term tenant, you're investing in good areas where there's not a lot of crime, then maybe theft's something you're willing to self-insure as well. If that's the case, you may want to look at basic form as an option for you to be able to save some money. Now, I also want to point out that everything we're talking about on the property side, if you have a lender, if you have a loan on the property, your lenders are always going to have insurance lending requirements. So you've got to make sure that if you want to buy basic form, they're okay with that, right? Yes, ma'am.
You didn't get theft under the special policy.
The only thing that would be covered would be the vandalism part of that, meaning the initial entry into the house. If they kick your door frame in, that would be covered on basic form. Anything that got stolen would not. Yep.
But that's in a rental?
In a rental, yes. Yep.
You're talking about anything that the property owner owns.
Correct. Yeah, nothing of the tenants would be covered under your property policy, right? They've got to buy a renter's policy for that. But anything that you guys own, like, we see AC units, especially in tougher markets like Detroit and other areas, as soon as you put a new water heater in there and they see it's under renovation, you walk in the next morning and the water heater's gone, right? So that's something to think about. Other questions on basic versus special before we move on? All right. Now you've got two other options. You've got replacement costs and you've got actual cash value. Again, if you've got a loan on the property, you've got a lender, you've got to make sure that they're okay with you buying actual cash value coverage before you do it. So we'll start there. Actual cash value will allow you to insure your property to a much lower valuation per square foot, right? So it's going to save you a substantial amount of money per month, but also limits the amount of money you can recover following a loss. So it figures depreciation into the settlement of your loss. Okay? By definition, all replacement cost does is provides you the ability to go back and recover the depreciation that was initially levied against you in a claim. But in order to do that, you've got to insure your property to a much higher valuation per square foot. Every market's different. Every carrier is different. A lot of them require a very high value per square foot, sometimes $100 to $150 a square foot for you to garner replacement cost coverage. But we all know that's overkill, right? So the way our program is a little bit different is we allow you as the investors who have a better idea of what it's going to cost you to rebuild that property than Lloyd's of London or State Farm or any insurance company does, right? And we give you a little bit of flexibility. So we'll actually allow you to offer replacement cost coverage as low as $70 a square foot, so substantially under where the market is, okay? But you're probably thinking, okay, that's a lot of words, let me explain it to you a little bit better. Let me talk to you about a claims process, right? It's a partial loss. How many of you guys have suffered through property claims? either partial, whole in nature, right? Hopefully not total losses, which are pretty rare in our space. But let's take a kitchen fire, for example, which is probably 70% of what our market's going to see are tenant-caused negligent losses, right? Your tenant's going to do stupid stuff at your property, right? Cool. So let's talk about a kitchen fire that maybe causes $30,000 worth of damage. That's about the average. It's actually a little less than that, 22 grand, something like that. So the first thing that's going to happen is the insurance company is going to send out an adjuster, right, to determine how much depreciation was left or how much depreciation to charge you of everything that was damaged. And everything depreciates at about at a very different level, but on average, it's about 1% per year off of the last update you made. Not off the original date of build, but last updates. So for this example, $30,000 kitchen fire, let's say it's 40% depreciation. It's more than you're ever going to see. Its average on the industry is about 20 to 22%, but let's say 40 because it makes for a nice round number. So they're going to take $12,000 of depreciation, right, off of your $30,000 kitchen fire. Leaves you with $18,000 right now. Next thing they do is they look at your deductible. And let's say again, make it nice and easy, let's say your deductible is $3,000. That's the amount you agree to self-insure. You cannot ever recover that from any kind of claim payout. Okay, so make sure you don't overstretch yourself on your deductibles. We'll talk about that just a minute. So on actual cash value after this partial loss, you would recover $15,000 from the insurance company as an actual cash value settlement to cover your $30,000 kitchen fire. Okay. Now, on actual cash value, that's all you have the ability to recover, but you're also not under any obligation to make the repairs. You can sell the property as is, cash the check, go on vacation, do whatever you want. Okay. The only difference on replacement cost is you actually have the ability to go back and recover that depreciation, that $12,000 that was initially taken from you in the claims process. Now, insurance companies are stingy. We all know that, right? They don't like to give out money, so they love taking your money, but they don't want to give it back to you, right? So they're going to make you show proof that you exceeded that $15,000. Okay, you're going to make the remaining repairs out of pocket, and then you can recover up to the $12,000 that they took from you in the get-go, right? You work with your insurance agent, we submit that on your behalf, you get the claims checked back. Now, a couple things to think about. None of us in here as investors, are any of us paying retail for labor or materials? Hopefully not, right? Probably get things done cheaper, maybe we've got our own crews, maybe we're doing things ourselves. Insurance claims are always settled on what are determined to be retail cost. Lloyd's of London, you name it, Great American, doesn't matter. They're going to come in and tell you what it's going to cost to rebuild your property from a retail cost. But if you're confident that you can get things done for a lot cheaper, then by all means, look at ACV as an option, right? I can tell you that in this claimed example or one similar to it, for investors on our program, we've got 20,000 of them, right, that are insured on replacement cost, suffered a partial loss like what we're talking about right now. 60 to 65% never came back to recover the depreciation that they could have. And it's not because they didn't want to, because I'm sure they would have loved to have the extra money, but it's because that actual cash value settlement was more than enough to make them whole again, right? Because they obviously weren't paying retail for labor or materials. So just something to think about, okay, when you're trying to decide, and again, got to talk to your lender to make sure they're okay with it. Questions on, yes, sir?
Yeah, so if you have
part of that, and then I couldn't hear for some reason.
So you own your own construction company, mm-hmm. and you know, property management company is going to do the work.
Yep.
You also own the stuff through the entity that owns it. Mm-hmm. Can you, as the owner of the other company, charge retail to figure that out?
Yeah, you can if you want to. Yeah, not that, I mean, I'm probably the wrong person to talk about to that. Like, you want to talk to your attorney or whatever to make sure, but I mean, it doesn't matter to us, right? You can do that if you want, absolutely. Yeah, he was asking if he had multiple companies, if he had a construction company, a management company, and then obviously the LLC or company that he has his properties through. Could he charge those other, could his construction company charge the LLC retail for the actual work to be done? And you can, right? The only thing is after a loss, your insurance company that you're with is always going to assign an adjuster, and they're going to work with those parties to come with a fair and equitable. So you'll meet somewhere in the middle at that point. But yeah. Sir.
Insurance to me is extremely confusing because I thought I'd get replacement cost on my properties. I've had two claims. Mm-hmm. It never is replacement cost. It's way, way, way less. So what did I do wrong?
It would depend really on what type of claims did you have?
had a car at the corner of a house and took out everything at the corner. And basically paid back the other side, had to pay for most of it, the guy that hit the house. But they had some minimum policy of like $25,000 when the cost of repair was like
$45,000. Yep.
I mean, because this all happened, I'm paying a $5,000 deductible out of my pocket. I had nothing to do with the accident.
Yeah.
They talked about I had a replacement value. So why isn't the insurance taking care of it?
They should. So it's going to depend on how much it costs to actually repair that damage. If it exceeded that actual cash value settlement, then you would have to pay the rest out of pocket and then go back to your carrier, and they'll cut you a check for whatever you have left available out of the what you had to pay for it. Your deductible is the part you cannot self-insure, right? So, and by the way, you also, on a property claim, you don't pay the deductible. They should have just deducted it from the loss settlement. So they should have adjusted it as that. Liability is different. We'll talk about that. But on a property, they just say, hey, if the loss is $80,000, the most you're going to recover $75,000 because you have that $5,000 deductible, right? Other questions on replacement costs or actual cash value? Okay. And again, 20 to 25% difference in your costs. Okay, so something to think about. Now, the great thing about working with a program like what we are, right, with the ability to add and put all your locations on one single schedule and pay monthly for us, is you can actually change that by location, right? You don't have to have identical coverage on each and every location. You can pick and choose how you want to do that. So if you've got ones in tougher areas or ones with loans on them that you need special form, and then other ones you own outright, you want basic or just liability, you guys can do whatever you want, right? So that's the advantage of working with us. Yes, ma'am.
One of the challenges I've had in the past with putting all of my properties on one policy is trying to allocate, if they are all different, if some of them are replacement, is what percentage of that cost goes to a certain property.
So you probably need something like a monthly inventory report that maybe shows that broken out, like with the cost that you need to allocate per property. It's an inventory report.
Inventory.
Yeah. So, and that's something that you get with us. So no guessing. We actually send that to you monthly around the 7th of the month or right before that, to where you're actually going to get that and see how much cost is that you need to allocate for each one of those. Yeah. Super simple. Super simple. Sir. Yeah, so it's not going to ask you in the portal what specific coverages you want. That's to work through with your CSR if you're an existing client when you're adding a location. Now, what they're going to start that process, they're obviously going to default to at least get that first number to you and say, hey, you've got $5,000 deductible, you've got basic form on ACV on all of your other locations. If you want identical coverage, this is what it is, but we've got these other options available. So that's just a conversation you can have with your client service rep. Sir.
What's the typical policy increase in premium if you go to the limit of your policy, mm-hmm. you have a claim against that? What's the typical increase in premium the following year?
That's going to depend on the loss. Act of God is looked at very differently than controllable losses. So when you look at like a theft, or you look at a water damage, or you look at arson, the insurance industry as a whole, that's what kills them, right? But the acts of God, the fires, the Hurricane Ike that rolled through in 08, right? Like those things would not affect your rate. You can look at severity as well as frequency as issues potentially, but it really just depends. I mean, that's my job as your agent, right, is to make sure I control that for you, which is another advantage of working on a program like us, because you may have a portfolio of 15, 20 locations, and maybe you have one or two that maybe had a rough year, whether it was frequency, severity, whatever it is. We can actually isolate those locations, and if we need to have the insurance carrier wants a little more money for those the following year to try to recover what they paid in their losses, we can do so without it affecting the premium on the remaining schedule, which is pretty rare.
We had a kitchen flood one year, and they terminated our policy.
We didn't, right?
It wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, it won't happen. Yeah, no, that's and it also depends, guys, on the carrier you're working with and what the appetite is for them to work on investment properties. Whether they're any non-owner occupied, renovations, vacants, they are all looked at as much higher risk by the insurance industry as a whole than an owner occupied, right? Your tenant's more likely to burn your house down than you are. So if they don't have the appetite and don't really understand what they're getting into, and they see a controllable loss like that, some of them will throw their hands up and go, whoa, we don't want this, right? And they'll do that. But that's the advantage of working with somebody that has kind of unique interest in this space. Sir.
Are you guys considered a broker, so you broker it out to your State Farm?
We're our brokers, yeah. The companies that you mentioned, we don't work with because they're both tremendous companies. And those household names you guys see, like, you know, Farmer, State Farm, Allstate's of the world, they're great, right? I have my homeowners through one of them, and I have my auto through them. But for investment properties, they don't do the trick. They'll offer these coverages kind of out of a sense of obligation to their existing clientele until you get to above like 3 or 4 locations, or you have a rental or a vacant, and they look at you like you have 3 heads, right? They don't want anything to do with it. So it's important that you partner with a group that actually knows this space and can write the policies the right way for you. But yeah, so our company alone, we represent about 250 companies. So we can guarantee that we come back to you with the most aggressive rates, the broadest coverage form, year after year after year. It's all hand. Yes, sir.
Do we have to notify at this point that they're for how long?
Yeah, we don't want to know about those changes until they hit day 61. So if it's just tenant moves out, you're going to throw some paint on the walls, put some new carpet in, you got another tenant waiting, don't even let us know. But that's the uniqueness too of our client portal is some people would prefer to call CSR and talk to them and say, hey, make this change. It's occupied, now it's renovation, whatever. Or you can log in and do it yourself.
If it's a multi-family and some of them are still occupied,
now, as long as the property is 50% occupied, it's considered occupied. Yep. Yes, sir.
What do you recommend for umbrella coverage over total asset value?
So umbrella is an overused term in the industry, so that's, I'm glad you brought that up. We'll talk about it now if that's okay. Umbrellas are just a creative way for you to garner additional liability coverage above and beyond whatever your primary liability policy provides to you, okay? It doesn't do anything for your property coverage. It's not a replacement for property. It's not a catch-all. So in our program, we give you, and we'll talk about it in just a minute, $1 million per occurrence and a $2 million what's called annual aggregate limit. Some people think that's enough because we give it to you per location. Some people are like, I had a wrongful death at one of my locations. It was a $10 million payout and I need an umbrella. We can go up to $200 million on those umbrellas if you want. There's no right or wrong answer. It's a discussion you need to have with your agent, and it's really what helps you sleep at night. I wish I had a better answer and tell you, but typically around when a portfolio gets to around 10 to 12 locations, we start to see investors really engage on those increased limits of liability through an umbrella or an excess policy. We touched on this a little bit, but choosing the right property deductible. Everything we're talking about right now is property coverage, nothing to do with liability, okay? But your property, the property deductible you carry, it directly affects the cost that you pay, your rate, okay? So the higher the deductible, the lower the property rate unless you pay. But you also want to overextend yourself to where after a loss happens, you're like, my deductible, the amount they took from the deductible prevents me from getting the work done because I don't have enough money. So this is what we try to tell you to do. Think about the minimum claim that you'd have to turn into your insurance company because you simply couldn't handle paying it out of pocket because it could harm your business. That's a different answer for everybody in this room, each person. That's where you want to start. And some investors do as much as double that amount, okay? Don't ever overextend yourself, but also go home and look at the declarations pages to your policy. And if you're carrying a $500 property deductible right now on your coverage, and you're thinking, wow, if it's just some glass breakage or something, I'm just going to do it myself, probably wouldn't turn a claim in for anything less than $5,000. You're paying your insurance company way too much money. Okay, so go back to your agent and say, nope, increase my deductible and tell me what my rate is. Here's the kicker. Some of these companies won't do that. Some of them will say, nah, it is what it is. If that's the case, you're working with the wrong people, right? You guys have flexibility, you have choices, and if they're not providing those for you, find an agent that will, okay? But there can be a very large variance in your monthly cost depending on the deductible you carry. Some of our investors go as high as $25,000 or $50,000. We've got other ones that do $100,000 on a single family portfolio, right? So you can do that, save substantially, but definitely don't do anything to harm your business. We were just talking about premises liability. So these, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That deductible is per property or per?
It's per property, yep, it's per property. So we talked about premises liability with the umbrella here just a second ago. These are the options that you have through my program right now, where you can do $1 million per occurrence, a $2 million annual aggregate limit. When you say aggregate, that's the maximum amount of money that your liability policy will pay over a 12-month period for any number of losses that happen. And each year at renewal, that resets to a new limit for you. Okay. Yes. It is per property. And that's one of the things you want to be very careful because there are other carriers and other groups out there. If you've got 100 properties in your portfolio, they will assign one single $1 million limit to your entire portfolio in an effort to save costs. Okay. That's what you don't want to happen, because what happens if you have a shock loss, wrongful death, slip and fall that goes into the millions of a potential payout? What are you going to do for the rest of your term? You're paying everything out of pocket. So you got to have unique limits per location. Okay. Some of our clients go with $1 million per occurrence, and they want that $5 million aggregate, meaning you can have five separate $1 million happenings within 12 months, and everything's covered under your policy. And then we can also do a $2 million per occurrence and a $5 million annual aggregate. Here's what's really cool about this: there is not a lot of cost difference between those. So if you want to entertain looking at higher limits of liability, you can do that. That's just within our program. When you get into higher limits, like these umbrellas we were just talking about, those are annual policies. They don't like to do those monthly because there's a lot of exposure to those. One claim pays out a lot of money. They want their premium up front. But we can go up to $200 million per location if need be. Sir? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you that maybe didn't hear, he was asking if vacation rentals or Airbnb are higher risk. They absolutely are. Just because the influx of different people in and out of there. Off the top of my head, no. But yeah, there are. You can look at that. And that's why we look at a lot of insurance programs that are offering coverage on Airbnbs, right? They rate their liability very differently than we do. Ours is a per unit monthly cost. And it doesn't vary from a single family that's had that tenant in there for 10 years or an Airbnb. If it's $5 per location per month, it's $5 for an Airbnb. Most of those programs out there are rating those risks, Airbnb, the vacation rentals, as a hotel or resort, which is extremely expensive because of the assault and battery and abuse and molestation claims that have happened over the last probably 36 to 48 months. The industry, that hotel, motel, resort industry is taking a bath, just getting beat up by those. So when the vacation rentals are the same thing, they're paying more. So it's important that you look at that when you're considering cost on the Airbnbs on the liability side. Yep. Yep.
Airbnb one side and rent the other. Mm-hmm. Do I have to like get Airbnb vacation rental for the whole building? How do they do?
Depends on who you're with. With us, it's just a rental. I'm sorry. Yeah, she said she has a duplex, and one side she rents as an Airbnb, and the other one's a standard rental, right? Do you have to buy separate coverage or notify your agent of the difference? If you're with us, no. Right, because there's no difference in the coverage, the cost, and the way we charge you for those risks. Depending on who you're with, yes, it could be very different. And you never want to give your insurance company a reason to decline a claim. So if you don't disclose that and something happens, they can come back and say, yeah, this is a material misrepresentation of fact and we're not covering your loss. And on that point, get everything in writing. Phone calls never happened. Okay, it's impossible to prove. Even if you talk to your agent, recap with an email afterwards. Hey, if anything's incorrect what I'm saying, we talked about, get back to me. Pass that on to them so you guys aren't getting harmed. Okay? A couple of other things on the liability that I want to make sure you guys know. The premises liability we offer is probably the most comprehensive coverage form you can get for investment properties, and we did that for a reason. When Tim and I started National Real Estate Insurance Group in 2008, we were both investors ourselves. So we looked at it and said, we don't want those risks, so our investors aren't going to have those risks, right? One of those is pollution coverage. Probably something you're never going to need or never going to use, but you'll be very, very happy that you have it if you need it. And what pollution coverage extends to on liability is pollutants that emanate from a heating source in the home. So think carbon monoxide. Okay? If you have a tenant that gets sick, or God forbid they pass away from carbon monoxide, you can imagine how pricey that lawsuit's going to get, right? Especially if it's a wrongful death. 99% of the liability policies that are available to investors exclude that altogether. They don't want that. We actually include that up to your policy limits. So again, probably something you're never going to happen to you. If you do, you'll be very happy you have it. The second one is canine coverage with no breed exclusions, right? So we offer coverage for your dogs up to $50,000. So tenant has a poodle when they move in, if they all listen to you and read the lease and they said no vicious breeds and they listened to you and actually abided by it, we're not having this conversation. But you drive by 6 months later and they've got pit bulls in the front yard, right? That's impossible. You guys are busy. You can't sit here and have to drive by there every day to figure out which, you know, if they've got pit bulls hanging from trees in the yard, right in the ropes. So you don't want that exposure. You don't want to know that, hey, you've got limited coverage. Because, hey, if that dog bites someone, everybody's getting named in the lawsuit, right? The tenant is. You guys certainly are, as the investors and the owners of the property. So we're going to cover those for you as well. The last piece on liability that I want to point out, and then we'll move on, is if you're not with NREG, the other thing I would tell you to do is go home and read your, as riveting as it's going to be, because you guys, I mean, no better way to spend a Friday night, right? Read your liability policy. If your defense costs are inside of the limit of coverage that your insurance company is providing you, change that. Okay, because what that means is whatever it's going to cost to defend you in that lawsuit eats away from the amount of money you have left to pay that claim out. So it's more likely you're going to pay money out of your own pocket in addition to paying for your insurance.
So how would that read? Like, if I'm reading my policy, how would I?
It's typically listed on the declarations pages. So if you look at the deck page and it shows your limits of liability, property always comes first, right? All of the property information, your information. You scroll through and look at the liability, it's going to show $1 million per occurrence, $2 million aggregate, and all the sublimits that come with it. Then it's going to show you the deductible, which, by the way, you cannot negotiate your deductible on liability. Don't try to do that. It's negative. It's not good for you. Underneath that, it'll tell you defense costs inside or outside of the limits. If it's inside, negotiate it out. And if your carrier can't do it, your agent says they won't do it, find somebody that will. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yep. We also offer first dollar coverage, which means no deductible. So all you're doing is paying your liability premium. But after a loss happens, you're not going to get an invoice from your insurance company going, yeah, in addition to the premium, you also owe us that $5,000 deductible. First dollar coverage on liability. It's another thing you don't want to have to worry about. Anybody doing subject twos? Just a couple? Wow, okay, cool. That's actually, we found out really quick back in 08 when we started here. That's pretty popular in Cincinnati. A lot of people are doing subject twos. So we wrote our program to be able to accommodate those and insure them correctly, right? Because with a lot of times what we hear is that, I just got listed as additional insured on the homeowner's policy. Never do that. Okay, never do that. You got to think about a property loss. If you're going in and buying that property subject to, right, the existing homeowner's in financial distress, can't keep up with their mortgage and their payments, you're coming in and kind of throwing them a lifeline. If you own the property, you've got to be first named insured on it, on your insurance. And why? Because what will happen? When the property burns down and you have a property loss, who's the claims check paid out to? The first insured, right? So if that prior homeowner is already in financial distress and is looking for you for help, whoops, now the claim happens, right? And that check gets paid out to them, what's the chances they cut and run with your money and now you're left with a burnt out piece of property and the loan called due because the lender found out, right? You've got to be the first insured. Yes, ma'am.
So this is Max is a thing, so I've been told this is kind of creative deal structure solution. If we change the first name insured, that usually triggers the notification to the lender?
Not correct. So the way you get around that, and that was my next point. So there's sneaky is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it, right? There's a sneaky way to do this, right? There's a few things you have to do, and that's why creative's better, right? There's a creative way to do this, and we figured it out. And knock on wood, if I can find some, we've never had a loan call due on this, okay? So the lender is going to look at a few pieces of information off those evidences of insurance that you have to provide to them for that coverage on the loan, right, on that property that they have a loan on. They're going to look for the loan value to meet or exceed, the insured value to meet or exceed whatever the loan value is. They're going to look for their mortgagee clause to be listed on the property, the evidence of insurance for the property coverage. And then they're going to look for the home buyer. They're going to look for their client somewhere on there. You don't want to list them on the property after what we just discussed, right? Because then they're going to be able to take some of that claims money, which you don't want. However, we list them on the liability coverage, and that will suffice. Now, what that does extends your liability coverage as the investor to them. So if you guys are both named in a lawsuit, somebody slips and falls, and they sue both of you, your liability coverage will extend to the prior homeowner. That's a nice trade. That's okay, right? Not a big deal. I'm sorry? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, list them as additionally insured. Then the Wells Fargo, whoever the lenders, the check mark, move on. Okay? That's the way to get around. That's the right way to insure a subject to, because more than anything, it protects your interest as the property owner. Okay? In addition to the property and liability, like kind of the meat and potatoes, we also do some ancillary coverages. These are the first few, and then we'll touch on some other ones a little bit more in depth. Obviously, flood coverage is one that some people need, some don't, depending on the flood zone that it sits in, but it's rarely included on your property policy. It's always going to be a standalone type policy, or you have to buy it by endorsement. Earth movement, which would be earthquake and sinkhole, that's another coverage that you can choose to add if you want to with us. And then terrorism and political violence. Believe it, I mean, there's not much risk at all, right, in the world we're playing in on terrorism and political violence. But if you're getting commercial loans for portfolios of properties, they're going to throw that in there as a requirement, and they're not going to negotiate it out. So if it says terrorism is required, we can do it for you. It's like a dollar per location per month. Depends on the flood, right? So yes, if you can use our private flood product through Lloyd's of London, which is a monthly reporting, just like our property and liability is. But if you've got a lender on your property, they will not allow that monthly reporting. They'll want you to go through FEMA or the National Flood Insurance Program, which every agent has the exact same product. There's no cost variance, no nothing. It just is what it is. So it just depends. If you own the property outright, then yeah, then you can look at some savings there by doing the monthly. Yep. Right, right. Yep. So it does. We do have that. Yes, yeah. Every agent, any agent that has an agency has access to.
So your premiums aren't going to be any cheaper than anyone else?
I'm sorry, I misheard you then. Yeah. No, that's going to be the same across the board. Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir.
But I hear you say that you have a flood insurance product separate from FEMA, if the property is paid in full.
Yeah, so typically what we'll find is if the property is paid in full, if it's vacant or undergoing renovation, and you got a short-term interest in the property, we have a monthly reporting flood product written through Lloyd's of London that you can buy, you know, month-to-month flood on it. Yep, sure can. Here's some of the ones that are a little bit more exciting, right? Some of these other ancillary coverages that we really encourage you guys to engage in. How many of you have in your lease that your renters have to carry renter's insurance? Every hand should go up. Okay, now, hold them up for a second. Hold on. How many of you actually mandate that every month? Okay, good for you, yeah. I'm sorry? How many of you make sure that it's enforced every month?
Interestingly enough, I called the insurance company that my insurers, I did.
Yeah.
They would not tell me.
It's because you're not listed as additional interest on their policy. If you are, they will.
So we should be sure that
yes. You cannot be you can't be additional insured because you don't, it's their stuff, right? But you can be additional interest, which is going to notify you if their policy lapses or is in danger of lapsing for non-payment or any other underwriting issue, right? But as your portfolio grows and you're trying to make phone calls for every tenant to make sure every renter, that's a full-time job. So what if I gave you a better solution? What if instead I said, hey, we offer a tenant protector plan, which is our version of renter's insurance. We do it a little bit differently. We sell it to you as the investor along with your property and liability. Most investors use that as an added benefit to renting from them. Hey, come rent my unit instead of the guy down the street. I'm going to give you renter's insurance. It's only 10, 12 bucks a month, whatever it is, instead of having them go to State Farm and pay 30 or 40. Okay? Most important thing is that you guys control the coverage, so you know it's in force. Okay, so this is what it does. You can pick either a $60,000 limit or a $100,000 limit of liability, which covers those tenant-caused negligent losses, 70% or better of the market of what we see, right? So you can subrogate and control your property costs over time. $10,000 of tenant contents coverage. This is what I don't want you to do. Don't tell your tenants about that. Okay, do not encourage them to burn your house down to make $10,000 because they'll try it. I've seen it, I've lived through it, it ain't fun, don't do it, okay? But know that it's there, that if tornado comes through and blows the house away, now you're a good landlord, you're a good steward, right? Here you go, here's 10 grand, go buy your belongings, right? Go start over. $2,500 contents for non-negligent affected tenants. If any of you are doing multifamily, and you have like a loss in, you know, tenant caused loss in unit A, they call it fire, right? Call smoke and water damage to B, C, and D. The tenants in BC and D didn't do anything wrong, right? So this policy would pay them each $2,500 to kind of go replace whatever belongings were damaged. And then skip rent's the last one. $1,000 sublimit for skip rent. So if you have a tenant that bails mid-lease, just says, I don't want to do this anymore, they don't notify you, they pass away mid-lease, they get deployed to the military mid-lease, or if they go through the eviction process, and the eviction process is completed, then we'll actually pay you a one-time sublimit of $1,000 to try to minimize whatever financial hardship you're going through while you're actually finding a new tenant. Okay? Two questions.
What's the cost of that delay?
Between $9 and $14 a month per unit, depending on the limit of liability you purchase.
So we can just roll that into the cost of...
You sure can. And you know what? And a lot of investors say, that's fine, I'm going to charge them $20 and you make a few bucks, right? I don't care, just don't tell me. Right? Yeah, do what you want.
Yes, ma'am. No,
bed bugs won't be. Yeah. Yeah. Or... running water and soap. Bed bugs, there are programs out there to cover that stuff on small sublimits, but not one that we can do on a monthly reporter.
Okay.
No.
Question.
Yes.
Are the minimum number of units to
start
the policy?
One.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there a minimum number of values
and
rents?
No.
Meaning the class of property?
Mm-hmm. No. So, if I heard you correctly, asking about loss of rents, what the minimum is, right?
Not so much loss of rent, but minimum rent. You call it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No.
You don't want anybody that has a rent on the
account. No, charge what you want, yeah. No, charge what you want. That's way too difficult right now. Sir?
As a landlord, if you're registered that, say on a security or something like that, is there any kind of price break of wages or employment?
On the tenant protector plan? No. On the property and liability? Yes. So on the core that's driving probably 90 to 95% of your monthly cost, absolutely. The tenant protector plan is a set cost right now, yeah. We can save you money on the other lines that would make up for it. How many of you are acting as your own property manager, not going through a third-party property management company? Did you guys know you had some exposure there that's not covered by your premises liability for things that you're doing? Okay. This is relatively new. We've had it for about... wow, maybe 10 months. But this is, it'll give you $100,000 of liability limit for exposures related to property management activities. Okay, so let me give you a really, really simple example. You go on site to pick up your rent payment, right? And you get in an altercation with your tenant and you beat them up, right? Guys, I can only share this because I've seen it. Make your head spin with some of this stuff. Okay, so you get in an altercation and you beat up your tenant, right? They won't pay you, so you just knock them out. Your premises liability. There's some.
I want to knock them out, but they knocked me out.
Well, should have known better. because this has to do with your property management operations and recovering rent. This is the coverage that would pick up that risk, okay, or pick up that exposure as opposed to your premises liability. It'll also give you a $25,000 sublimit for tenant discrimination. You wouldn't think this is a thing. This is a thing, right? You have potential, you know, prospect one and prospect two. You pick prospect two for whatever reason. Prospect one sues you because they said, yeah, you should have picked me for whatever reason. $25,000 sublimit to pay him to kind of go away and to settle that for you. I'm sorry?
This is additional.
Yes, this is actually, the cost for this is $2 per location per month. Yeah. Yeah. I do what I can to keep your costs low. Full-time job. Legal defense costs are included in that. Here's the kicker, guys. If you're in Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Maine, New York, Washington, or Wyoming, it's not available just yet. There's different kind of insurance regulations I got to kind of still get through. But for Ohio, Kentucky, you're okay. I'm sorry? Oh, you got a $2,000 deductible on that coverage. Okay, so $100,000 would pay $98,000 out. And then it's a $5 million shared annual aggregate limit among all the investors that participate. If we get anywhere close to that, guys, I'll just buy another layer of coverage. That's simple, right? equipment breakdown. Don't see a lot of this on single families, but if you have multifamilies and you have any kind of equipment at the property, a boiler, if there's a pool and you've got, you know, some equipment outside, it'll give you property damage, business income, ordinance or law, environmental safety and efficiency and demolition. So just add on coverage if you're doing multifamilies or you have a commercial loan. Most of the time that's going to be something that's required for you to carry, so we can do that for you as well. That's like, it's so inexpensive. It's very, very cheap. But it's a property rate, so I don't have a set dollar amount. Yes, sir.
How does that work, like, asbestos, like, is that like pre-existing things?
Pre-existing is never covered, unfortunately. Yeah. If I could come up with a way to cover pre-existing, I would be a billionaire and I wouldn't be here right now. Or I'd maybe zoom in from the beach I owned. Yeah. Yeah. The kicker on that, though, is if there's parts of your property policy. So if the exposure, mold's a better example for this, for, you know, for this example I want to go over. But if you have a fire that breaks out of your property in the middle of summer, it's humid, fire department comes in, puts the fire out, but it takes so long that when the renovations happen, that mold has happened from the water exposure in the summer, that mold coverage would be covered because the peril's fire. And oftentimes you can do the same thing. So if a fire happens and asbestos is uncovered because of the fire damage, the remediation of that can be covered under the claim. Yeah, but if it's just all torches. Don't do that, yeah. Guys, you guys want to hear one of the craziest claims I've ever heard or I've ever seen and lived through, really quickly. You guys, when you're working with general contractors, everybody requires them to show you proof of their liability coverage, right? And you're listed as additional insured on their liability for the duration of the time they're working on site. Everybody shake your head yes, even if you're lying. Okay. Property in Dallas, Texas, about 4 or 5 years ago. General contractor walks up to the door, right, and gets stung by a bee or a wasp. I don't remember which one it was at this point. Looks up in the corner of the door frame. There's a beehive sitting there. So normal human being would do what? Get a can of Raid, right? Spray it and kill it. Not this guy. Blowtorch. And he burnt the property to the ground. I'm a creative guy. I can't make this stuff up. Right, so what happens? What happens in that scenario? It's a great thing to talk about. Or he's going to knock you out, right? Yeah, one of the two. So it depends on how big he is, right? Your property carrier is always going to come in and make you whole again. That's why they're there. But if you haven't done your due diligence on your general contractor and they have no way to go back against that contractor's policy to recover the money they paid on that property loss, you're going to pay increased rates for up to 5 years with most people, most carriers, and the carriers attempt to recover some of that money. Why do that? You did nothing wrong other than not vet your GC, right? So make sure you do everything you can to pass that problem off to the negligent party, okay? This is a new one, service line coverage. So no...
Yes. Is it an add-on like the E&O, or is it part of the...
Equipment breakdown is an add-on, yeah. And it's a property rate. It's like 3 cents per hundred of coverage. So I don't have a set amount like I do on, you know, the other ones, but it's very, very cheap. Service line coverage is a new one. So we saw a lot of frustration around this. So I wanted to build a program to fix it. So the service lines that run out from the house to the street, no property policy covers those, right? So the excavation is probably 75% of your cost there. You dig your yard up and it's a mess. So now we can provide coverage for that. You can pick a $10,000 or $15,000 limit of coverage. You can pick and choose the properties you want to have it on. Here's the other cool thing. We do all investment properties. I like homeowners. I have nothing against writing homeowners policies. I just don't want to do it every day, right? So this service itself, though, the service line coverage, you can put this on your homeowners. So if you don't have that on your homeowners policy, we can add it to it for you.
That excavation,
I'm sorry?
That excavation.
Yes. Yeah. Then we got some options for your tenants too. So we talked about the tenant protector plan. It's great. I think everybody should do it. But you can also encourage them to buy their own renter's policy. Can't ever have too much liability, right? And if they do that, the way a claim would work is their renter's insurance policy that they're buying here would act as the first line of defense. If those limits are exhausted, then your tenant protector plan would kick in before your property coverage ever has to kick in. So you've got three layers of defense. So they can buy that on this website here. If you are a client of NREG, then we can guarantee that you're listed as additional interest on that policy. If not, we ask the tenant to make sure they fill out your information. We want to make sure it's correct, though, right? And then the second one is canine guard, canine liability coverage. So $50,000 isn't always enough. And why should you be paying that $50,000 off of your insurance policy and maybe have increased rates for a bunch of years because your tenant didn't listen to you when you said no pit bulls? So they can actually buy up to $100,000 of coverage through Canine Guard that acts as the primary line of defense against those losses that happen. You guys would be listed as additional insured on that policy as well. So if you're both named in the lawsuit, that extends to you too. Okay? So we do both of those.
So make sure that you were named, also make sure to pay the premium.
I couldn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Making sure that you're also named, make sure that you know they're paying the premiums.
Correct, yep, yeah. Anytime if you're listed as additional insured or additional interest, you're notified if that premium is gonna be, if that policy is gonna be canceled for non-payment or any other issue.
And what's the cost of the renter plan?
Renters is gonna be anywhere from $12 to $23 a month, depending on the limit of liability they purchase. And then the canine's a little tougher, that's by breed. It's by breed. So obviously, I think the pit bulls are around $300 or $400 a year. And I don't think the Yorkies are that much. I say that because I've got one. Can I go behind you first? You had a hand up first. Go ahead.
So earlier you were talking about a tenant protection plan. Is that the same thing?
It's in addition to, yeah. You can choose to engage in one or both. Yeah.
So are they?
Yeah.
We really wouldn't need that policy.
No, it depends on how much you want your tenant to carry. So you can buy $100,000 of coverage through the tenant protector plan. That's a more cost-effective option, right? Correct. But if you have a house that you're renting that maybe is higher value, like $600,000 house, and you don't think $100,000 is enough, then you can have them also choose to buy the renter protection plan. They can buy another $100,000. And then now you've got $200,000 passed back to where your property coverage would not have to pick up that loss. Okay, so you can do either or both. Tenant protector plan is the better way to go because you control it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes ma'am.
Okay, so you were talking about the different layers with having your renter pick up a policy and you also do a renter protection policy.
Mm-hmm.
Is your... Like when your renter leaves, do you now have to get a new name?
On the tenant protector plan, that's a great point. So no. So her question was, is every time you have a rent turnover, right, or a new renter come in, do you have to let us know that? No. That's why we write the coverage in your name, right? The tenant on the lease at the time of loss is listed as additional insured. So when that claim happens, all we're going to do is say, can you send us a copy of the current lease? And that's what would trigger the contents coverage. I don't want to have to hire 100 more people to pick up those changes. No. So, good, very good question, sir.
Is there a range that you can give us for cost per thousand, cost per door for multifamily if we were to buy what you would recommend for typical apartments for a single family?
In Ohio?
California.
Oh, California? Yeah, I don't know. Are you one of the ones that want to insure the land too? Because you can't do that. But everybody in California thinks you can. I'm sorry.
You were saying moving earth or something earlier.
Yeah. Earth movement. Earthquake. Yeah. Earthquake. We can talk about it. Let me answer his, and then we'll go on. So the property coverage in California, if you're not buying earthquake, is extreme. Is very cheap. So if you look at like in Ohio, for example. The average cost is about 25 cents to 30 cents per $100 of insured coverage, right? $100,000 home divided by 100 multiplied by 30 cents, there's your annual property rate. In California, it's more like 10 to 12 cents. But the trade-off is your liability is outrageous because of the habitability issues going on there. But there was a claim recently in San Diego where there was a subdivision that was just too expensive and nobody could afford it. So the builder was like, I'm done building houses. I can't turn them. I'm going to sell them all. Instead, he bulldozes all of them. okay? There happened to be a squatter living in one of them. Now, hold on, the squatter wasn't there at the time, right? He was out doing whatever squatters do. But they bulldozed his house that he was squatting in, sued, and won millions of dollars.
Wow.
I'm sorry?
Squatter did.
That's California, baby. You can't. So. I'm sorry. I wouldn't be here. I'd still be upstairs trying to figure out what I was gonna say. Like, no, it's true. Like, California is now in Ohio. I mean, Ohio is like probably on apartment complexes annually. I don't know, $150, $175 a unit on multifamily, on a single family. $500 to $600 a year. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Was there any price difference the bigger your portfolio is with you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime, the more leverage you can give me, obviously, to go to my one of my carriers, whoever's insuring your properties on our program, that's more ammunition I have to drive your rates down. So yes.
Is there any difference if they're in different LLC names or things like that?
There's common ownership, so it's all under going to be, it'll be separate accounts underneath one master for you. So no, that doesn't matter.
Okay. And then if we've got property management, the ability to refer customers to somebody who can save them money if there is a
We have an affiliate marketing program that does allow non-licensed influential resources to capitalize on referrals you send to us. So yes. Yep, sure can. Yeah, I know. Yes, sir.
Renters insurance is a constant battle. So I have a full-time employee who once a month check on this to make sure they cancel their policy.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any way in either of these two programs we're talking about that we can pay them and add it on to their rent?
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking the policy out of here, but you're still allowed to do it.
You are allowed to do that on a commercial form like what we're offering, and the tenant protector plan does exactly that. So you control that cost. It's in your name. The tenant's listed as additional insured, provides the same benefit, and you can control that monthly. Correct.
Make sure they're out and they're done.
Correct.
And then I just offer it as an addy to come for interview.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it.
Ignore him. He's no one.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just a question I have is that if you only have a couple rentals, then you can do that. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay. You can. It's a pain in the butt. I mean, and if you're not listed as additional interest, I think her point earlier, that insurance company won't release that information to you, so they won't tell you. So. It's easier. And by the way, the one thing I forgot to lead with, so I'm going to finish with it.
You're going
to
end with it.
I'm going to end with it. I'm so glad you came in. Shit, man, I'm going to lose my head, man. Vina uses our insurance and has since 2008. So there's the plug. So in case anybody was wondering if we're worth a shit or not, Vina uses it. So
it's got the redheaded stamp of approval.
And guys, you can come over to our booth and see us, or if you just want to go to nrig.com/Ohio. We'll help you out. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Okay. I want to thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
The sandwich was wonderful.